Thank you for tuning in to the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development podcast series. The topic of this podcast is Growing 4-H Opportunities Together, Volunteers in Vision and Action. You may also recognize this program with the acronym GOT VIVA. My name is Carrie Rabideau, and I'm a Youth Development Extension Educator with a focused role in distance learning technologies. Joining me today are my colleagues, Becky Harrington and Karen Santel, both Extension Educators. Welcome to you, Becky and Karen.
Hello, Carrie. Hello. Thanks for having us.
I want to thank both of you for joining me and having this conversation about utilizing volunteers in a program development process. Let's start with each of you telling us a little bit about yourselves, your backgrounds, specifically related to volunteer development. Becky?
Hello, I'm Becky Harrington. I'm an Extension Educator with the University of Minnesota Extension, and I have been with Extension here in Minnesota for over 25 years. And when I look back at my career, I've worked in county, regional, and with some state responsibilities as well. And one of the things that I've enjoyed throughout my Extension career has been working with youth and adult volunteers and partners as we work together to develop programs that really make a positive impact on young people.
And I'm Karen Santel, also an Extension Educator in Youth Development with the University of Minnesota Extension, and a very similar background to Becky, having over 20 years of experience working at various levels, both county and regional, and working with volunteers throughout all of the different roles that I've played, and especially enjoy that youth audience.
And tell me a little bit about your work with volunteers. What experience or what focus have you had with that population in our program?
Well, certainly within the 4-H Youth Development Program, we rely on volunteers to not only deliver programs, but really help us develop programs with and on behalf of young people. And so my experience has been in working with everything from club volunteers, club leaders, to folks that volunteer at the county level as well as the state level, but really a partnership in looking at what their needs are as volunteers and how that's so important for their development as they work with and on behalf of young people.
Once again, very similar, but I think I probably focus a little bit more on utilizing volunteers on program delivery and development and what are their needs, and working with thinking about the youth component and what the needs of youth are and how adults can partner with those youth.
And I know both of you have been instrumental in the development and implementation of this process of growing 4-H opportunities together for volunteers. And although your work focuses on the 4-H program, it really seems like it could be a model that could be utilized in other youth development programs. Becky, I'll direct this first question at you. Tell us about the purpose and scope of this program, and why is it different from other program development models?
Well, thank you, Carrie. And I think you're right that while the title GOT VIVA implies 4-H within it, it is a process that we talk about that has application across many audiences. And so the purpose of GOT VIVA is really to help define the direction of a youth program or any program and how that can contribute in our case to young people. We also, as part of the purpose of this, really want to take a look at how do we strengthen volunteer systems, again, knowing that volunteers are so critical in advancing the priorities that we have in our case, again, 4-H youth development, but it could be in any community-based organization. And the third purpose of the process is to really take a look at who are some potential organizational partners that have a mutual interest in working together with us as we look to improve the scope and quality of youth development programs within our community. I think that there are a few things that make this different. And again, one of the big things is that it takes a look at combining program development. How is it that organizations look at program planning? But it also connects that volunteer systems development. So again, it's not just coming up and identifying a lot of priorities, but it's really integrating a strong volunteer system and helping make those priorities, turning them from priorities into action.
Yeah, so when you talk about creating that into an action step, or what steps do you take to achieve this?
Sure. So we have developed this process, so it has four phases or four different sections of it. And the first step or the first phase is that it looks at readying the staff that are going to be part of the process, that we really value the staff and what they need in terms of leading this process. And so we invest significant time in making sure that they are feeling confident and ready to lead volunteer systems, as well as feeling competent in their program planning. Then the second step, after we've got staff on board and they're feeling good about it, then we take a look at how do we prepare our county program. Again, that could be for another community-based organization. It might be their board of directors or whoever their constituents are. And so we take a look at, again, sharing what the process is, making sure we're communicating the value of investing in this kind of process. This is also a time where we identify a steering committee. Because we're a youth development organization, we value youth voice throughout the whole process. And so we will have a small steering committee of youth, of adult 4-H volunteers, of community partners, of other stakeholders. We have an important relationship with county government. And so we like to have a representation of our county programs on that steering committee. And so, again, they're the ones that help us give vision and give voice to the process. Then our third phase is when we go into implementing the program planning process. And this is where we really spend time digging into a needs assessment. And so we will gather data from a variety of sources. We will invite focus groups together. Again, we'll conduct multiple focus groups to get perceptions of our youth program, not only by current participants, but also those that aren't involved in the program. We also take a look at demographic data across our community, across our county, as well as the current program data that we have. So we have a big picture then, a big scan of what it's like for young people within the county, within the community. And then at that point, that's when our steering committee digs in again, and they take a look, and we lead them through a process to sift through all of that data, and then they come up with a set of priorities. And so then after those priorities are set, we know that we don't want just a report on the shelf. We go into our final phase, and that is around strengthening our volunteer system to address those priorities. And so then we will have another group of participants, again, young people very involved in that, adult volunteers, community partners that will come and take a look at those priorities and say, okay, what are the action steps that we can take as a program to move that forward that will make an impact on young people? And then, of course, at the end and throughout the process, we want to evaluate how we're doing, and we also want to communicate that out with the stakeholders. And so there are places in the process then that really lift up, and we want to make sure that we share those results and those plans and the progress with our community stakeholders.
Yeah, and as you describe that process, Becky, thank you for doing that. I really heard that volunteers and vision and action coming through. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that stands out for me is that you said youth voice as well, and that they are absolutely a part. It's about the volunteers, but it's also about the young people.
Well, we do lift up, and when I think of volunteers, I think of youth and adult volunteers within our program. And I think when we think like that, then young people will hopefully feel valued like that. And so it is a priority that we have youth voice along with adult voice. It's a youth-adult partnership, but it is taking those youth and adult volunteers and helping, you know, how do they co-create this vision of what our youth program is going to be like? And then as the front part of our acronym talks about growing 4-H opportunities together, mm-hmm. that it really is that vision leads to a growth in our program and a growth of opportunities for young people.
Which is a great lead-in to, Karen, I'll ask you about, you have utilize this mm-hmm. in a number of counties to this point. And I'm wondering if you can share some of the results you've seen from completing this process. It's not just on paper, this has actually happened. So tell us a little bit about that.
And actually, one of the ones I probably want to highlight is in one of our counties, going along with the youth voice that you had picked out of what Becky was sharing, is one of the strategies that came out is they wanted to become, the youth wanted to become their county, the leadership hub. So they, as a youth, a group of youth, with the support of an adult leader, wrote a grant and are now organizing and implementing a leadership retreat for youth and throughout, just not in their county, but through neighboring counties also. So that really was a youth voice. Shows that youth-adult partnership, and it's really a strategy that really was raised out of this process for that county, was developing leadership skills in their local youth. We've actually seen growth in both our staff as well as the county 4-H Youth Development Program. Staff have increased their confidence in managing volunteer systems, and as Becky had said, you know, we are a volunteer organization, and we depend on those volunteers to have a successful program. And staff are also more intentional about connecting programs to the needs of youth. So those priorities that we set or found out through the data, as well as our 4-H, our statewide 4-H mission, because that is the other thing that we talk about through this, is what are the needs of the youth in our county, but also what do we do in Minnesota 4-H, and what is our mission, and connecting our programming to that as well. There's lots of different things I could share about how programs have expanded and grown. A lot of new partnerships have been formed throughout all the county programs that have gone through this, which has helped us, whether it's space needed for programming or it's an actual partner where we're partnering on programming and bringing youth together. So just more youth have had opportunities to be in a quality youth development program. There has also been a variety of programs offered to youth, such as after-school programming for a new audience. So there are kids who haven't been exposed to 4-H youth development before who are now. Also, project-based training. That's one of the things we do in our 4-H world, is learning on different projects. And, you know, we do that project training to spark that desire to learn more and master a topic within youth. So those are just a couple of examples I can share.
Mm-hmm. And it does, I'm hearing throughout that vision and mission coming together to even grow and increase. So it's taking what is there, valuing what you have, but what, how could we improve this and strengthen our programs and make it even better?
Yes, and I think it also goes to, we are doing great work, and sometimes it's going through a process that, like that, and saying, well, we're doing, you know, X, Y, and Z, and that is already connected to the mission. So sometimes it's a matter of staff taking a step back and just reflecting on the work that they do and how they can tweak it, or that, you know what, we're already doing this, and it's just maybe the way we message it is more intentional about the needs of youth as well as our mission.
All right, so if anybody's listening to this and they're saying, hey, our program could really benefit from going through this process, what advice or starting point would you give a program who feels like this is a place they're at and that they'd benefit from this process?
I would say a starting point would be to ground yourself in program development and then volunteer system development, which that's part of the staff development we have in this process. But there's other resources out there. But really get that frame of mind on developing programs as well as volunteer systems. You also have to have a willingness to delve into data and engage stakeholders in determining priorities and the action strategies. So it's not just a staff member, but it's probably a team of staff members as well as stakeholders coming together and really diving into the data and the program. And then, of course, Becky and I, we would love to find the time to visit with you and share more in details about the process that we have.
That's great. And if they would like to get a hold of you, they can visit our website and find out more information about this program.
Yes, yes.
Final comments or ideas about the programmatic process?
I can let Karen speak as well, but I think one of the things that I enjoy the most about this process is that it causes our organization to pause for a bit. I think it's easy to just keep going on and the wheels kind of keep turning, but it's important, especially in a learning organization like we are, to pause, to take a look at the data, to listen to stakeholders, to listen to our constituents, and to really make sure that we're in check with our mission. Mm-hmm. And this process allows lots of voices and, again, allows for that co-creation of a vision about where the program is moving.
And I would probably echo exactly what Becky said. And I think when we first field tested, piloted this process, a lot of staff kind of dug in their heels, like, oh, this is going to take up too much time, I don't have time. But every staff that has gone through it would echo what Becky says, is it's the benefit. It was well worth the time it took to take that step back, reflect, collect data, pause, and then move forward with some new energy.
Great. Well, thank you, Becky and Karen, for sharing your experiences with this program today. That collaboration, that partnership with volunteers is just so instrumental in improving youth programs, and you've certainly given us all a lot to think about. So thank you.
Thank you.
And if the listeners out there would like to learn more about program and volunteer development, you can find us on www.extension.umn.edu/youth, where you'll also find research, training, and events on both online and in-person presentations, and make sure you check out our Minnesota 4-H program. Also, if you'd like to join the latest in conversations in youth development, go to our Youth Development Insight blog. That will wrap up this podcast. This is Carrie Robidoux with Karen Santel and Becky Harrington from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again.